Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 21. Ben Flanagan of Aspect Radio. Ben Stark of Wondermill Films.
Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Hey, Ben, pretty good. I just wanted to catch up with you about something. Your most anticipated movie of the year, Tomorrowland, is opening today, Friday, as we record this, a movie that I've seen now. I saw it this afternoon, but I don't want to talk to you about the actual movie or any actual movie. I want to talk to you about its marketing, the mysteriousness of the marketing that Disney unleashed on us with its initial teaser trailer and teaser poster, and how it really played its hand close to its chest. And I want to know if that is a strategy that appeals to you like it does me, and you know, let alone, you know, forget just Tomorrowland. I mean, we can talk about that all we want. I know you'd rather not, because you want to go in as fresh as possible, and Disney did its darndest to try to make that happen, at least for a minute, until it got desperate. But there are just other movies that have shared this mindset, this strategy in the past, that I think have done it effectively, and some that have kind of fallen on their faces a little bit and have it backfired when it comes to the movie finally coming out and audiences being kind of turned off by the mystery of the marketing. And I wonder if it's something that you like as somebody who likes to go in as fresh as possible, or would you like to know more about some of these movies?
I don't think I've ever wanted to know more about a movie that I wanted to see. And even if I don't want to see a movie, rarely information is not going to make me do that. I know I'm not the average audience member, though. Usually, for all it takes for me to be interested in a movie is a director or a premise or a poster, and maybe like a teaser. If like a teaser trailer gives me, you know, the tone of a movie, or, you know, one or two kind of interesting visual ideas or something like that, or designs or something like that. That's usually all I personally need. So the mystery box kind of, you know, approach to marketing works just fine on me, because I was going to go see Super 8, you know, before they had any marketing. Now, Cloverfield is maybe a good example of a movie that kind of, it got me because that trailer came out of nowhere. Nobody was even talking about that movie. And then it had a very intriguing trailer that everybody was talking about. And so I was in then. Like, if I had seen the trailer for Cloverfield and the movie came out the next week, I would have gone to see it. Really, what hurt that movie for me was learning more and more about it, learning it was a found footage movie, and learning it was, you know, it was basically a Godzilla movie, and it all these other things that, as the marketing went around, it could have been more mystery boxes, I guess what I'm saying. But again, I'm not the guy that's sending these movies to, you know, $300 million at the box office.
Well, you're putting your hard-earned money down for it. I mean, you make choices these days, and a lot of that is based on the marketing, and especially for a movie like Cloverfield. And that's a really unique example, because there were no names attached to it. I mean, J.J. Abrams' name came a little later, maybe after that teaser trailer. I can't remember if it said from producer J.J. Abrams by
the
end of
it.
But, okay, so that had the name J.J. Abrams. Nobody knew who the hell Matt Reeves was unless they were diehard Felicity fans.
Or
so,
Paul Bearer.
I mean, yeah, that movie just it had a tall mountain to climb. And it really sort of got halfway there with the trailer alone. And I agree. I think it kind of took two steps back the more people found out about it. And really, as soon as it came out, and the word of mouth was nowhere nearly as strong as the word of mouth was for the viral marketing campaign that it had. But with movies like Tomorrowland and Super 8 and even Christopher Nolan's movies like Inception and Interstellar, which aren't, you know, existing properties and don't have something that fans can immediately recognize, no brand recognition, and for them to make the choice to reveal as little as possible about the plot, the characters, even the look of the movie, to me, that is really intriguing. intriguing as a moviegoer. And you say that we're not your average moviegoers, but when those trailers and those posters come out, they make me feel that way again. They make me feel like a kid again, and they show a lot of confidence from the filmmakers in themselves and what they're going to bring you once that movie comes out. It's something that I personally really appreciate from guys like Abrams and guys like Nolan, who want to keep people on the edge of their seats. And like you said, all I need to hear is Christopher Nolan or Brad Bird or J.J. Abrams or Steven Spielberg, and I'm going to be in that theater no matter what, unless it's like a snuff film or something.
Wait, hey, you wouldn't know that if you didn't see the trailer, you know? Now, what kind of a, you know, what kind of a experience story would that be to tell people about the time you went to go see the Brad Bird snuff film and thought that it was like Ratatouille, the sequel, you know?
Right.
That's still a unique theater experience. Yeah, I mean, I think, I agree that it's all marketing is desperation at a certain point, you know? And it's really, it's up to the studios to kind of be able to dial that in and figure out how desperate they're going to be and how much they're going to give away. I think that, I've talked already on a couple of different episodes about how they could be getting a lot more creative with marketing where it doesn't have to be a mystery box approach, but it also doesn't have to be, you know, throw everything from the movie in the trailers. I'm a fan of, the Wally Andrew Stanton, Alfred Hitchcock style, you know, filmmaker trailers.
I think that's going to turn into an FNU drinking game whenever Stark brings up the Wally trailer with Andrew Stanton.
Man, it is great. It would be a dangerous drinking game if you also did that for Aspect Radio, because I feel like you guys have mentioned that a few times as well. Because
well,
it's amazing.
It.
Yeah, it's great. It's mind-boggling that more people don't do it, including Pixar. Why aren't there Inside Out trailers right now talking about Pete Docter and Monsters, Inc. and Up? Doesn't make any sense, but that's not what we're talking about today. But, so has the mystery box marketing thing ever just completely failed for you?
Well, I think that you have to look at failure a number of ways, and I think we go back to Cloverfield. And it worked in that it opened my eyes to this project that I had never heard of before and I knew nothing about. And it made me really want to see it that day, like you said. But once I saw it, I was disappointed, like a lot of people, I think. I know that there are a lot of people who love Cloverfield out there and will back it up for forever. But I think that the viral marketing and the mystery can hurt a movie that doesn't necessarily need it, and it doesn't necessarily need a more creative marketing team behind it who sort of outperform the movie itself and sell it a little too much. I mean, you want to sell your movie as much as you can, and you want to put people in the seats however you can, so good job. They did their job, but the only way it's really hurt me or hurt me as a moviegoer and disappointed me is if the movie itself is disappointing. I mean, look at Star Wars Episode One, right? The marketing just completely oversaturated marketing. That is what Star Wars is all about. You want Star Wars on Pepsi cans and on Lay's potato chip bags, and you just want it to completely cloud your brain until you finally see the movie three or four times. And there was nothing about that marketing that told me, as a teenager in 1999, that this movie's going to suck historically. I mean, I was excited about it like everybody else. I mean, looking back, yes, you can see Jar Jar Binks, but he didn't really open his mouth in that marketing, did he? Everything about it looked really cool. So I think that, you know, as somebody who pays their hard-earned money to watch these movies, we talked before about how we want to be duped by the marketing. We want to be sold on these ideas in these movies however they can, because we want to believe in the product. We want to believe in the industry that these studios are giving us something that is worth spending our money on. And the only way they can do that is to be as creative as possible with their marketing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever disliked a movie because of the way it was marketed to me. I know a lot of times that can happen. I've heard of people complaining about maybe like The Village. You know, it's marketed as this straightforward werewolf movie or some sort of, you know, forest creature movie. But then what they got was a different kind of drama with thriller elements to it. I love that. Like I would love to go to a comedy, a movie that was marketed to me as a comedy, and it turned out to be, you know, The Raid Redemption or something. I think that would be a fun thing. But I think that the marketing folks are thinking the way and have trained a lot of audiences to think this way too, that movies are a consumer item, and truth in advertising should reign supreme for, you know, consumer products. If I go to, you know, Best Buy and I pick up a microwave and I open the box and a poodle jumps out and pees on my rug, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. You know, that's not what it said was going to be on the box or in the TV commercials. So I understand that people could get frustrated by potentially misleading marketing, but also I feel like it's up to the studios to educate the audience and kind of, you know, remind everybody that, hey, this is storytelling, and the key to storytelling is twists and turns and what next and what then. And the only way that that is going to be protected, and the only way that your experience with the product, if you want to call it that, is going to be protected, is if those what then and what next moments are protected.
The bait and switch, the borderline bait and switch example that I can think of that worked out favorably, at least for me, in my personal experience, was Brave from Pixar from a few years ago, that concealed so many details of its plot from its marketing. I thought it was genius. And when I saw that movie, even though I totally bought into what they were selling initially, and when I saw what it actually was and what happens to the characters and sort of the changes they undergo, I went all in on it again. And I thought it was absolutely brilliant on the part of Disney and Pixar to keep that from us and save surprises for us. I mean, what do people want from these commercials? Like, do they want to see everything? Is that what is forcing the studio's hands these days, to show us everything and shower us with spoilers and all these big moments that should be saved for the theatrical experience? I don't understand what the demand must be for moviegoers where they say, well, I'm not seeing enough to be sold on it. I need to see everything. I need to see your biggest moments before I pay money to just see it again in the theater.
But that's precisely what people have said about Tomorrowland. Is that I don't know what it's about, so I don't know if I want to go, which confuses me because I've seen the teaser trailer for that movie, and I know it's about a girl who discovers some sort of, you know, this parallel land of some sort where people have rocket packs and somebody doesn't want her to get there, and then George Clooney, you know, helps her. Don't tell me if that's not the plot of the movie. But from what I can tell, that's what it's about. And if that interests me, then I'm going to go see it. And if that story doesn't interest somebody, that's fine. But I can't imagine that those teasers aren't telling you basically what to expect. But going back to Brave, I think that is actually a kind of a bad example of mystery box marketing, because that production history had been so publicized that there was a working title for the movie that totally spoils the plot. And then when they actually did the marketing, there were a handful of shots in the trailer that totally gave away that kind of twist. It's not even a third act twist. It's like a beginning of second act twist in that movie, which, again, I enjoy the movie. And I like that. But I just wish that they had done a better job of really committing to the mystery approach.
I didn't know what the working title was. I knew nothing. I had no idea that was coming when I saw it.
Yeah,
that.
I'm somebody who pays
close attention to the marketing of movies.
Well, clearly not close enough. You know.
Well, what was the working title of it?
Okay, spoilers for Brave. The original title was The Bear and the Bow.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I saw a bear in the thing and it said something about, you know, I don't know, she was like, there was magic and stuff. And I was like, I bet she's going to be a bear. And she has a bow. I don't know. I figured whenever it happened in the movie, I was like, yeah, okay. Sure. Good. I'm glad we're doing this now. So let's.
Right. I bet. Oh, and spoilers here. I bet you're the guy who said I knew Bruce Willis was dead the whole time in Sixth Sense. Too.
No. I'm the last guy to do that because I'm dumb and I really like twists in movies. Like The Village totally got me, you know, and you know Lady in the Water really pulled it over on me.
Pulled it over on everybody.
I don't even remember if there was a twist in that, but no, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not saying that because I'm smart, but I just feel like that the marketing, that's a case the studio didn't know what they had on their hands, which was they had a good movie, so they needed to just kind of rest on that. But instead, I think they kind of sent some really mixed messages and kind of mixed up their kind of what they wanted that movie to be.
Well, I love that movie, and despite all that, it actually performed quite well at the box office.
Sure. Well, so, that's again, but it didn't need any of it. Really, it really just needed Pixar.
Well, yeah, what movie, like, The Avengers didn't need anything. No. We knew that it was The Avengers, so we knew we were going to be there. I think most people probably felt that way. But
right.
Yet, you have Disney and Marvel pushing as much as they possibly can to get people in there and sell these toys and all of this merchandise that's related to the movie. And you know, do we need it? No, not necessarily, but... You know, I think that the studios and the filmmakers, they might owe what a movie is about, just sort of the basic premise of a story. So if like Jurassic Park, all the way back in 93, all I needed to know was Steven Spielberg, Dinosaur Park goes wrong, right?
Right.
And yep. I'm there. I'm good. We're good to go. But now with Jurassic World, I feel like they're just ruining in the marketing and all the TV spots and trailers that I'm seeing now. They're just ruining all of these moments of suspense and surprise that these things that, you know, obviously the foundation that was Jurassic Park set into motion. I think that they're completely going back on that and sort of betraying that foundation that in the goodwill that movie created by just, I don't know, just sort of going willy-nilly. In shoving as much as they can, referencing or calling back to the first movie and sort of the idea of Jurassic Park instead of telling a story in a unique way like that movie did. I think they're sort of forgetting the point.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they think that if we don't see a bunch of dinosaurs and a bunch of velociraptors, we won't think that those things aren't in the Jurassic Park movie.
Hey, you know? It's called Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or Jurassic World. I mean, we know there are likely to be dinosaurs in this movie, so you have license to tease us now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, it's – well, so like Super 8, again, going back to that, was that a success for you? Or if you didn't like the movie or didn't like all of the movie, was that just because of the movie itself and had nothing to do with the marketing?
Well, it's interesting because Super 8 has been coming on cable lately, and that's a movie that I actually enjoyed, and I think that movie has a lot of heart and is filmed and just is filmed with a lot of heart. It's obviously a very personal movie for J.J. Abrams. I think that's a case where it didn't necessarily need the mystery box marketing. I think it would have survived on its own if they had done it in a more traditional way. I mean, if you want to make a teaser, fine, but I don't think that you have to add as much mystery as they did with this whole train crashing and what's on the film that these – because, I mean, like when it comes down to it, when you watch that movie, it's pretty inconsequential. It's kind of a red herring. And I think when you see that after all of that buildup, it sort of betrays the audience. And you have that kind of bait and switch moment where the audience thinks back to, well, there was certainly a lot of hype for this. And I'm not sure that it was totally worth it instead of focusing on the story itself. I think you distract the audience by doing that because they're looking forward to what that trailer built up so much as they're watching the movie.
Yeah, and I think you could say the same thing about Star Trek Into Darkness, where there's a big plot, or not even a plot thing, but just a character thing that was hidden from people. And I didn't really want to know, you know, one way or the other if this character was that character. But apparently, the fact that they were being coy with it at all infuriated a tremendous amount of audience members. And so people were just, you know, rebelled against the movie because of that, because they didn't think it was worth a mystery approach. The Khan reveal, I'll just go ahead and spoil it. You know, the reveal that Benedict Cumberbatch is playing Khan was treated with this coyness, and Again, it didn't bother me, but apparently bothered a lot of people and really made a lot of people upset, and I don't understand why. It's a potential distraction. It's funny because they didn't do that for The Dark Knight Rises. You know, there's a character reveal in that movie. Is this person that person kind of thing? And it was kept secret very nicely, and nobody seemed to rebel against it that time. So I don't know if it's a J.J. Abrams thing or what it is, but do you kind of know what I'm talking about with Star Trek Into Darkness and that whole backlash?
Yeah, there was weird backlash that existed before anybody saw that movie for whatever reason. These people who are so high and mighty about fan service and think that movie is basically just a walking piece of fan service. And, you know, my response to that is, so freaking what? That movie's awesome. I don't care if it's fan service. I don't care if it's not. I saw a great movie, and the reveal didn't bug me at all. As somebody who's seen and loved The Wrath of Khan, I looked at it as sort of an homage to that, a celebration of the franchise, of that story, and done in a different way that was really unique and just well executed. I know exactly what you're talking about, but I was glad that it was concealed. I mean, I know that there were rumors going into it and all the speculation as to what it might be, but I tried to avoid that as much as possible and not care about it and perhaps what I had heard, because, you know, even though, you know, it's a movie that I really want to see, I'm not as attached to the property Star Trek as I am others, and I'm just trying to go in and have a good time, and I totally did with that.
Yeah. So, right. I mean, but I think you're right earlier. It does come down to these powerful directors, and I'm glad that there are some of them out there that are doing the right thing. Whether J.J. Abrams needs to conceal certain things, or, you know, if he needed to conceal the creature in Super 8 or not, I'm glad that he's at least thinking that way. You know, I'm glad that he's at least taking the initiative to protect elements of his movies, even if they're not the exact elements that need to be protected at all. And I'm glad that there are filmmakers out there that are powerful enough to hold that sway over their marketing. So I think that's what it comes down to for me, is that mystery movie marketing doesn't really bother me in any situation. It doesn't push me or pull me one way, but I definitely appreciate that it exists, because it signifies a narrative power that some directors still have.
Yeah, and we'll see if J.J. Abrams sort of relinquishes some of that control in the conceit and idea of the mystery box marketing when it comes to his next movie, the biggest movie of the year and the biggest franchise in movie history. We talked about it before with Episode One. Now that he's got Star Wars, is he going to apply similar methods? Is he going to try to keep as much tight lift as possible from the audience, or is he going to sort of embrace that oversaturation of movie marketing, or is he just going to do as much as he can and that Disney will allow him to do? It's an interesting marriage there. You know, somebody who wants to, you know, keep as much unrevealed as possible, and a company that wants to beat people over the head with the marketing eventually, especially in the case of Tomorrowland from the same company here. They tried it first, and now just with TV spots and additional trailers and images that they've released, they just don't care anymore. They've completely betrayed that initial idea that I'm guessing Brad Bird was a huge part of in planning and showing audiences as much as possible if the tracking turns out to be poor. I doubt that's going to be the case with Star Wars, because everybody knows what that is and what to expect, and these first couple of trailers have been so successful and people are going to be there no matter what, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you would have said that about Avengers too, but, you know, there was stuff all over the place showing stuff from that movie. Now, the one thing I will say about The Force Awakens is that on top of J.J. Abrams, it also has Kathleen Kennedy as the head of Lucasfilm, and I think that she is an advocate that even that Brad Bird definitely didn't have, and I don't think Kevin Feige is that level of powerful, you know. So I think that Star Wars, I think there will be a mystery. I think there is already a mystery element in terms of, like, you know, who is related to who, you know, and who's playing what, you know, hero or villain role. I think that is already out there kind of in the teasers and the trailers. And I hope that it keeps the mystery up. Because again, the most important thing is that experience in the theater, not the experience of, you know, people watching something at a red light on their phone on YouTube.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that there are so few filmmakers who believe in this, and really there, you know, you have Spielberg and Abrams and Christopher Nolan. I mean, there are only very few who have earned the credibility and the power to be able to be in a position to make that choice and to do that and to tease audiences that way. So, I mean, other filmmakers don't have that freedom, you know, necessarily. But, you know, it's good that the guys who do have it don't abuse it and use it to their and their audience's advantage. And, you know, I think back to something like Hook, even way back in the early 90s. All I needed to see was the poster of the silver hook against the black background, no title, no nothing, just the date, and to know that Steven Spielberg had made a Peter Pan movie. He's so confident about this that this is all he's going to show you. And at that point, I was in. And I just hope that studios and filmmakers continue to pursue methods like that to titillate their audiences and tease them as much as possible and reassure them that this is all we want to show you because we are that confident, that high on the movie and the ideas that we have here that we think we're going to entertain you in a way that you're not ready for.
Yeah, or Batman, you know, another great example, Batman 1989. You know, all they needed was that symbol, you know, presented that way. So, well, cool, man. Well, good talk.
Yeah, definitely. I think we should not say any more.
Exactly.
Folks.
Yeah, shut up, both of us.
Seriously.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.
I think I just need to come up with a reason for Craig to do a Woody Allen impression, and then we'll go like 3 hours.
Or something late.
Oh, there's the stinger.